We're on. I'll entertain a motion now to come out of recess and come in back into regular session.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Ms. Grunbaum. Question on the motion. Hearing none. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Grunbaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Now we're back in regular session. Now it's time for our public hearings. Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. President. We're going to have two public hearings, which are engineering in nature. And for those two public hearings, we'll be hearing a short presentation from Mr. Ashman. Subsequent to that, the council will have an opportunity to question him. And then after that, if there's anyone here today that would like to speak in regards to that, they can come forward. And we will also listen for anyone that is listening remotely that may want to opine. And then subsequent to that, we can close the public hearing and council may take action if they so desire. The first one is the Millsboro Martial Arts annexation of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District. Mr. Ashman.
Hey, good afternoon. These you've actually seen before because these come through for permission to prepare and post notices, but this is the actual public hearing. Council granted permission on March 25th for the expansion of the Dagsboro-Frankfort area of the United Unified Sanitary Sewer District, and the engineering department had received a request from Plitco Engineering LLC on behalf of their client DuPont Properties LLC for a project known as Millsboro Martial Arts. The firm was informed the parcels were not contiguous to the existing area, and they needed to receive requests from the intervening parcels. The engineer did provide us with signed letters of the owners of parcels 233-11-244, 240, and 240.01, which makes the project contiguous to our existing boundary. Project will be responsible for extending the sewer south along Route 113 to their project and providing a connection point for those parcels agreeing to be annexed along with this project. They will be responsible for system connection charges in place at the time of connection. Engineering department posted notices on April 14th, advertised the weeks of April 30th and May the 7th, and added to the county website. Second page here. To date, we had received a phone call from the mayor of the town of Dagsboro questioning the annexation and the name of the project. I requested written comments from the town prior to the public hearing, but to date we have received none. I did talk with the county planning and zoning director, and the project is not adjacent to the existing town boundary, which places the jurisdiction in place of the county. Any questions?
Any questions from council? If not, is there anyone here today that would like to address this issue? Is there anyone here today that would like to address this? Seeing none, operator, can you check to see if there's anyone listening remotely that would like to opine?
If there's anyone on the line who would like to speak on this hearing, please dial 5-star. At this time, there are no pending comments.
Thank you, operator. Mr. President, at this time, we close public hearing on this matter. If council desires, close public record.
If it's okay with council, we'll close public hearing, close the public record. Okay, Mr. Moore, would you please read the short title?
Mr. Ashman, do you have the resolution?
Sorry. This is a resolution to extend the boundary of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District to include six parcels, 233-11-240, 240.01, 244, and 233-16-22, 24, and 25 on the east side of DuPont Boulevard, Route 113, and south of the town of Dagsboro, located in Dagsboro 100, Sussex County, Delaware, recorded in the Office of Recorder and Deeds in and for Sussex County, Delaware.
Move for adoption.
Okay. We have a motion, Mr. Riley?
Second.
Second, Mr. Lloyd. Questions on the motion? And we'll take the vote, Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Quintenbaum?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Thank you.
And the next public hearing, Mr. President, is Crescent Place Annexation of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District to Miller Creek area. Mr. Ashman?
Yes, this one is for an expansion of the Miller Creek area of the Unified Sanitary Sewer District. County Council granted permission on March 25th of this year to post for the public hearing. The Engineering Department received a request from Beacon Engineering LLC on behalf of their client, the Evergreen Companies LLC, owners of parcel 134-1924 and adjacent to the existing Miller Creek boundary. Parcels are along Central Avenue and is proposed at 57 single-family lots plus a clubhouse. Project will be responsible for system connections and charges in place at the time of connection. Engineering Department posted notices on April 14th, advertised the weeks of April 30th and May 7th, and added to the county website. To date, we have received no correspondence in support or opposition.
Okay, do you have a resolution? I'm sorry.
We've not had the hearing yet.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
Any questions from council? Okay, if not, is there anyone here today that would like to address this issue? Anyone here today that would like to address this issue or have questions? Seeing none, operator, can you check to see if there's anyone listening remotely that would like to comment?
If there's anyone on the line who would like to speak on this hearing, please dial 5-star. At this time, there are no pending comments.
Thank you, operator. Mr. President, at this time, we can close the public hearing on this matter. If council desires, close the public record.
Okay, so okay, the council will close the public hearing and close the public record.
Mr. Ashman, do you have a resolution?
I do. So the resolution to extend the boundary of the Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District, Miller Creek area, to include the Crescent Place on the southeasterly side of Central Avenue, located in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, Delaware, recorded in the Office of Recorder of Deeds in and for Sussex County, Delaware.
Okay, pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, second. Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Ms. Quintenbaum. Question on the motion. And we'll take the vote. Mr. McCarron.
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Ms. Quintenbaum.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, at this time, Mr. President, I'll read the rules of procedure for the zoning hearings. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend a comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County and its zoning land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, source of income, sex, creed, marital status, age, gender identity, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within those protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each application shall be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the commission hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record, along with any exhibits introduced at the commission hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. There will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak and are present in the chambers, you're required to come to the front, stand at the speaker stand, and state your name and home address before you make a statement. If you participate telephonically, please state your name and address before you give your statement. When you speak, please turn off any electronics and make sure there's no background noise or discussions. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to me and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. If testimony is repetitive, then you may be asked to move on to another point or topic. Remember, it is the quality of the testimony that is persuasive, not the quantity. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to a silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. Furthermore, once the record is closed, the council, on my advice, will not read or respond substantively to any mail, email, text, or engage in any conversations about the application. Their decision will be made only based on the record established at both the council and commission hearings. And Mr. President, our first hearing today is conditional use number 2474. Mr. Whitehouse.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to grant no use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a private garage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 0.46 acres, more or less. The property is lying on the south side of Butler Boulevard, which is approximately 200 feet south of East Muddy Neck Road, which is Sussex County Route 361. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 134, Map 17, Parcel 6.02. Submitted into the record, Mr. President, we have a copy of the applicant's conceptual site plan. We have a copy of the DLDOT service level evaluation response letter. We have a copy of the staff analysis letter. We have a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, and I would note that we have received zero comments. The application was subject to a public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission at its meeting of March 5th of this year. And at the meeting of March 5th of this year, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval of the application for the four reasons stated and submit to the 9 recommended conditions as outlined within the motion. And Mr. President, a copy of that motion along with the draft minutes of that meeting are included in your paperless packet. Thank you.
Any questions from council? If not, is the applicant here today? You'll come forward, please. Give us your name and address, and then explain why you would like council to act favorably.
Okay, John Elsassant. I live at 203 Long Pond Road, Hewitt, New Jersey, 07421. Good afternoon. I'm here, I bought this piece of property. It's behind a produce stand. I live part-time in Savannah's Landing, and you can't park a boat, or I have a couple of hot rods. We plan on retiring down here in a year or two, and I want to build a building to keep that stuff in. So basically, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
I don't know if it's a question of you or maybe our staff, but is it a pole barn type building?
Yes.
I rode down there. I'm born and raised right down there.
Oh, but, okay. So it's right behind the produce stand.
I know right where exactly where it is.
Right.
My question is, why do you have to have a conditional use to build a storage building or just a pole barn?
I think because, that's what they told me when I came in here to apply for this. I think it's because there's no residence on there. It's under a half acre.
Yeah, there's no residence.
Yeah.
I can assist with this. There are rules in the code that stop accessory storage structures being built without a dwelling to look after them. And the interest of that is crime prevention, having unattended, unoccupied buildings. If the dwelling was there first, then this would be permitted. So.
Okay, and I have one more question. The egress and ingress.
Oh, it's, so when the lady who owned all this property subdivided it and I bought it, you can see to the right, it's the driveway that's there.
So you can get to it from that?
Yeah, going through
right here.
That, yeah.
Yeah, but because you, I read in the record.
The Butler Boulevard.
The other area,
right.
You can't use that road.
No, and I wouldn't be.
Okay, I just want to make sure that.
Yeah,
that,
for sure.
That is clear.
Yeah, yeah. It would be that driveway that's in the picture.
Okay, so it's no problem using that road?
No problem at all.
Okay.
I've been using it to go back and forth. That's where the landscaper goes to mow the lawn.
Okay. All right.
Any other questions from council?
I do. Do you make a habit of doing mechanical work on your vehicles? Is that kind of the plan with the garage?
My stuff is all done. I don't really do much. I mean, other than wash them.
Yeah.
Typical, maybe brakes, but
okay.
No.
Seems like a stupid question. Any plan to store hazardous materials on site?
Store what?
Any hazardous materials? You got
no.
Gas tanks, any fuel?
No.
Okay. All right. No, I got nothing. That's it.
Okay. Did you have anything else to add, sir?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Is you can have a seat. Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone here in favor? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none. Operator, can you check to see if there's anyone listening remotely that would like to comment?
If there is anyone on the line who would like to speak in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star.
Seems longer and longer.
At this time, there are no pending comments.
Thank you, Operator. Mr. President, at this time, we can close the public hearing on this matter. The council desires to close public record.
Okay, if it's okay with council, we'll close the public hearing, close the public record. Okay, Mr. Moore, would you please read a short title?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance granting conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a private garage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 0.46 acres, more or less, for reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 4 with conditions 5A through I.
Pleasure of council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Riley.
Second.
Second, Ms. Grunebaum. Any question on the motion? Hearing none, we'll take the vote, and it's in my district, so I'll vote first. I agree with planning and zoning, and I vote yes. Mr. McCarron.
I agree with planning and zoning, and based upon testimony here today, I vote yes.
Mr. Lloyd.
Based on the testimony given today and the recommendation by planning and zoning, I vote yes.
Ms. Grunebaum.
Based on the recommendation of planning and zoning and the testimony today, I vote yes.
Mr. Riley.
I also vote yes based on planning and zoning's recommendation.
Okay, motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Next matter, there's two matters, a change of zone and conditional use. We'll combine those into one hearing, but of course we have to vote separately. So Mr. Whitehouse.
Thank you. The first is change of zone number 2717. This is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an MR medium density residential district. Certain parcels of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 12.32 acres, more or less. The properties are lying on the north side of Burbage Road, which is Sussex County Route 353, approximately 475 feet west of Windmill Drive. The 911 addresses are 30835, 30839, 30845, 30853, 30873, 30879, 30885, 30889, 30895, 30899, 30903, 30911, and 30910, and 30896, Wheatland Lane, Ocean View, and the tax parcels are District 134, Map 12, parcels 374.01.02, and 375.00 and 3445.00 through 3460.00. Submitted into the record, Mr. President, we have a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet, a copy of the applicant's conceptual site plan, we have a copy of the applicant's Chapter 99-9C response, a copy of the applicant's drainage assessment report and the resource buffer management plan, a copy of the applicant's environmental assessments and the public facilities evaluation report, and a copy of the proposed bylaws and declarations for the development, along with a copy of the PLUS response, and we're also in receipt of technical advisory comments, including comments received from the Delaware Electric Co-op, the State Division of Watershed Stewardship, and the State Fire Marshal and the County Engineering Department, along with the DelDOT area-wide study fee memo and a copy of the DelDOT service level evaluation response letter and a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. And I would note for the change of zone application, we have received 7 comments, which are included in your paperless packet. The next is conditional use number 2462, also filed on behalf of Gulfstream Gulf Cove. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for multi-family dwellings, 50 units, to be located on the same parcels of land lying and being in Baltimore, 100 Sussex County, containing 12.32 acres more or less. Submitted into the record for the conditional use application, we have a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet, a copy of the applicant's conceptual site plan, a copy of the applicant's Chapter 99-9C response, a copy of the applicant's drainage assessment report and resource buffer management plan, a copy of the applicant's environmental assessment and public facilities evaluation report. Thank you. A copy of the applicant's proposed bylaws and declarations for the development, a copy of the PLUS response, and also, we're also in receipt of technical advisory comments, including comments from the Delaware Electric Co-op, the State Division of Watershed Stewardship, the State Fire Marshal, the County Engineering Department, along with the DelDOT area-wide study fee memo, and a copy of the DelDOT service level evaluation response letter. And I would note that for the conditional use application, we have 3 comments, which are included in your paperless packet. Both applications were subject to public hearings before the Planning and Zoning Commission at its meeting of March 5th of this year, and at the meeting of March 19th of this year, the Commission recommended approval of the change of zone application for the 6 reasons as outlined in the motion, and the Commission also recommended approval of the conditional use application for the 9 reasons stated and subject to the 17 recommended conditions as outlined in the Commission's motion. And Mr. President, copies of the minutes for both of those meetings are included in your paperless packet. Thank you.
Any questions from Council?
I don't think this would be quite as short as the previous one.
Either that or Mr. Ashman's. Ms. Pete, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Good afternoon, President Hudson, Council Members, Mr. Moore, Director Whitehouse, members of staff, and members of the public. For the record, my name... There we go. For the record, my name is Mackenzie Pete, and I'm an attorney with the law firm of Saul Ewing, present on behalf of the applicant, Gulfstream Glen Cove LLC, seeking to rezone Sussex County property located just outside the town of Millville from AR1 agricultural residential to MR medium density residential, and a conditional use to allow 46 single family detached dwellings in a multifamily setting. These applications are denominated change of zone number 2017 and conditional use number 2462. Present with me this afternoon are Ron Sutton, PE and managing principal of Civil Engineering Associates, Inc., Will Tupac, professional wetland scientist of Watershed Eco, John Murray, Land Development Manager, and David Hart, President of Fox Lane Homes, Delaware, the potential developer of the site. As Director Whitehouse stated on March 5th, 2025, the applicant appeared before the Planning and Zoning Commission to present both applications. And thereafter, on March 19, the Commission unanimously recommended approval of both applications. The applicant accepts the reasons and conditions as drafted and had no requested changes. In terms of the project, the site spans approximately 12.32 acres, comprising of the tax parcel numbers that Director Whitehouse stated previously. Parcel 375 is owned by O.T. Collins Family Limited Partnership, while the remaining parcels are owned by Gulfstream Development Cove LLC, the applicant. This site is bordered by residential developments within both the county and the town of Millville. It primarily features immature woodlands and some grassy areas with existing wetlands located to the northwest and tax ditch right-of-ways associated with Derrickson Canal tax ditch surrounding much of the site. So just to draw your attention to the screen, the wetland area is here, and you'll see the tax ditch areas delineated on the plan as well. Historically, the parcels excluding parcel 375 were approved as a major subdivision known as Glen Cove, intended for single-family detached homes. However, this project was never realized due to unfavorable market conditions. The area has since seen significant development of multifamily products, as this council surely knows. This represents really classic infill development, while the proposed homes aligning with existing land uses in the region. This site is essentially an enclave surrounded by the town of Millville, similar to several other nearby properties. The plus comments indicated that the parcel lies next to the town of Millville with the possibility of annexation, but the property is actually too small to qualify as an RP within that jurisdiction and cannot be incorporated into the adjacent Bishop's Landing community either. So both of those options were not possible, and so annexation was not possible. The applicant provided a comprehensive exhibit booklet that was submitted before the commission hearing. The exhibits include the conditional use and rezoning application forms, a property survey completed by CEA, deeds evidencing ownership for relevant parcels, preliminary plans, 99-9C considerations, which were recommended by planning staff due to the proposed single-family detached dwellings. Of course, this isn't a subdivision, but that was still recommended. And we submitted those with our submission. Additionally, the coastal area environmental assessment and public facility evaluation report was requested by planning staff and voluntarily supplied by the applicant, although it's not mandatory because the proposal involves fewer than 50 units. The booklet also contains the drainage assessment report required due to a small area of non-tidal wetlands on the site, which I mentioned. Those were delineated by Watershed Eco and are indicated on the plans with an average 30-foot resource buffer offered. Other materials include the zoning and comprehensive plan, aerial maps, plus comments and responses, the DLDOT service level evaluation request form, along with DLDOT's response confirming a negligible impact here. Correspondence with DLDOT regarding the entrance location. For your knowledge, the location did change. We're showing where the location is currently contemplated. There's also a tax ditch and buffer exhibit, a surrounding maps community, and the completed Sussex County Engineering Department form related to sewer. The site's located within the AR1 district, and the applicant seeks to rezone it to MR. Section 115-28 of the code states that the purpose of the MR district is, quote, to provide for medium density residential development in areas which are or which are expected to become generally urban in character, but where sanitary sewers and public water supplies may or may not be available at the time of construction, together with churches, recreational facilities, and accessory uses as may be necessary or are normally compatible with residential surroundings, end quote. This district is designed to protect existing developments of this character and includes vacant land deemed appropriate for such development in the future. Nearby properties are zoned AR1, MR, C1, and CR1. The site's bordered by existing single-family homes to the north, south, and east, while to the west is Bishop's Landing, located within the town of Millville, consistent with a product proposed here. Within the county's jurisdiction, nearby residential developments include Windmill, Windhurst, Westmill, Pine Grove, Country Estates, Barrington Park, and Wedgefield, among others. The site's located within the coastal area, which according to Chapter 4 of the Comprehensive Plan is defined by two main characteristics. First, this region is recognized as one of the most desirable locations in the county for new housing, a fact that is certainly supported by construction data and rising real estate prices in this area. Second, the coastal area encompasses ecologically important and sensitive characteristics. The plan explains that the coastal area designation accommodates development, provided that specific environmental concerns are addressed. A diverse range of housing types are also permitted in the coastal area, including single-family homes on individual lots, townhouses, and multifamily units, which are all permitted in the coastal area. The proposed use is consistent with the coastal area for the following reasons. First, the project will benefit from central water and sewer. It's located within the Tier 1 of Sussex County Unified Sanitary Sewer District.
with sewer services to be provided by the county and central water to be provided by Tidewater. 53 units are permitted, with only 46 proposed. Additionally, the proximity to nearby commercial uses and employment centers enhances the project's viability and accessibility, such as those within the town of Millville, Ocean View, and nearby along Route 26. The multifamily proposal also aligns with the existing character of the area, particularly within established developments such as Bishop's Landing. Additionally, this area has demonstrated a clear demand for multifamily housing, as evidenced by existing developments. By introducing additional single-family detached dwellings in a multifamily regime, this project will contribute to the diversity of housing options in Sussex County that has predominantly been developed with single-family detached homes on individual lots within a subdivision setting. Furthermore, the plan includes approximately 8.12 acres of open space, which constitutes about 66% of the site. The site's also located within the investment level 2 area, where growth is anticipated by local, county, and state plans. Beyond what has already been discussed, just drawing your attention specifically to the preliminary plan. So again, you'll see the applicants proposing 46 single-family detached dwellings in a multifamily regime. At the commission hearing, we submitted some renderings of the proposed product and floor plan. I do have one copy I'll submit again in case you didn't have a chance to take a look at that. The materials are on the docket, but I'll submit another copy. And specifically, it includes the elevations and then the first floor and second floor plans of a sample product type that'll be on site. As indicated in the preliminary plan as well, the site's situated near the Derrickson Canal Tax Ditch. A tax ditch right-of-way runs around the perimeter of this site. As discussed in the plus comments, there were historical amendments to the tax ditch right-of-way. There may be a need for an additional amendment to accommodate the installation of a culvert pipe between the wetland area and the stormwater pond. If there are questions about that specifically, the engineer's on hand to answer. The site also contains a small 0.2 acre non-tidal wetland, which was delineated by Watershed Eco in January 2024 with no disturbance planned. An average 30-foot resource buffer has been proposed, resulting in a total resource buffer of approximately 0.37 acres. Specifically, the buffer varies in width from 15 to 50.1 feet. At its narrowest point, it is 15 feet due to the presence of the tax ditch as well as the proposed outfall. The maintenance easement to access the area is also marked on the plans at the end of Private Drive 1, approximately here. A resource buffer management report was prepared and is part of the record to outline the protocols and maintenance plans for protection of this resource. The site's predominantly wooded, although it's not classified as mature or old growth forest. Aerial imagery and the drainage assessment report confirms that this site, specifically the Gulf Stream site, was cleared around 2012. A 20-foot perimeter buffer has also been established. At this time, I'd like to have Ron Sutton come up and just talk through our buffer exhibit that we submitted into the record so that you understand the relationship between the tax ditch area, the buffer, and then the proposed homes.
Good afternoon. Ron Sutton with Civil Engineering Associates. So what we did here is we put together an exhibit showing existing homes on this side. And then, you know, right now there's a large treed area between them, and they will pretty much remain intact. We have our tax ditch. Then we have our proposed buffer and then some drainage areas in between. So between the almost 80 to 90 feet between the backs of the existing houses to the backs of the new houses. So we wanted to kind of present a, you know, there's going to be a lot of forest remaining between the existing houses that are out
trees,
there.
Not Tree, forest.
Trees, sorry, trees. Yes, no forest.
Come up to the north, right?
Well, it surrounds it. So,
okay. Okay.
So this green, so we have a 20-foot buffer, and then we have the tax ditch maintenance area, And then the houses are up in this area.
Yes.
So there's a large separation there with trees that will continue to remain in place. And it basically surrounds the entire section, the older Glen Cove project.
What is the width of the right-of-way for the tax ditch?
The tax ditch right-of-way is 25 feet off the top of bank. It was established back in 2012 when we did the first subdivision.
Okay, so, and then in addition to that, you've got the buffer, correct?
Yes. Yep. So it's almost 45 feet off the top of ditch.
Okay. And the open area, the open space was, I forgot what you said now, but it's that greens, it's the same as it's the buffer area is what we're talking
the
about.
The open space is comprised of everything from the backs of the houses up to the property line. Because the houses themselves, there's no lots here. Everything outside of the houses and the roads are considered open space.
Mm-hmm. Not the definition I would use, but okay.
I can assist just quickly on that point. So this application was submitted prior to the code changes in December of last year, which establishes a rectangle around the units. So current code is for any new application submitted now, cannot count the area immediately as you step out of the unit as open space.
Right.
Meaningful.
That's what I was questioning. And then also, so I guess that also the buffer ordinance doesn't apply either.
This was submitted prior to that ordinance being adopted.
Correct. Thank you.
Yep. So in terms of access to the site, I mentioned previously, it'll be provided off of Burbage Road within a 50-foot right-of-way that runs here through Windmill Subdivision. An alternate entrance had been proposed previously here. However, DelDoc confirmed, as evidenced by an email that's in the record from John, he can never say his last name, Pietro Bono, to John Murray, the developer, that this entrance violated certain sections of DelDoc's coordination manual, specifically regarding entrance locations in a deceleration lane, and also did not meet the required spacing of 250 feet for a major collector. According to DelDOT's response to the applicant's service level evaluation request dated August 19, 2024, the project is expected to generate fewer than 50 vehicle trips in any hour and fewer than 500 vehicle trips per day, determining the traffic impact to be negligible. Consequently, an area-wide study fee will be required instead of the TIS. Regarding roadway improvements, a 10-foot wide shared use path is proposed along a portion of the site's frontage to connect to adjacent pathways as well.
So, Mackenzie,
yes.
So there will be no secondary entrance? Is that's the bottom line?
There was a requirement, I believe, of the commission for some kind of...
I saw that in the notes, and
yes.
It looked like you were going to get back with something, but what are you saying now? There is or there's not?
So there, the only actual entrance and exit to the property is here. Commissioner Wingate suggested an alternate.
There will be no secondary entrance.
No. Mm-mm. And this, and the one thing that did come up at commission was a possible alternate. I don't know if you can't call it an entrance or an exit because DelDOT wouldn't permit it, but there could be some alternate access way that she had suggested may be appropriate here.
That the commission suggested, or?
That was discussed at the, but it didn't, I don't believe it made it its way into an actual.
I saw the note requesting it to be included in the site plan, I think, but I didn't know that it, I didn't see any indication that it had been resolved. So there's no other in and out.
Only one in and out is proposed right now. Mm-hmm. Primarily because DelDOT wouldn't permit an actual entrance and exit here,
which
is confirmed in the record.
Mm-hmm. Mackenzie, you mentioned a 10-foot, was it a sidewalk or just right away? What was that like?
A shared use path along the front of the project.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome. In terms of endangered threatened or threatened species, so field investigations were conducted by Watershed Eco that did not identify any endangered or threatened species. We are aware that there's a couple opposition comments in the record confirming the presence of a great horned owl or owls. The developer did speak with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service who confirmed that the potential presence of a great horned owl nest would not impede the development of the property and explained that their office recommends following best management practices when encountering a nest, which would include not disturbing it if eggs or fledglings are present. Mr. Murray also inquired whether a permit would be required for construction. He confirmed that it would not, except in cases involving bald or golden eagles. I will add that as part of the tax ditch amendment process, the applicant and developer would also have to address any species-related issues as part of that approval process. This is a long way of saying, in response to those comments, that the developer will follow best management practices if a nest is encountered. The project includes two stormwater management areas that you'll see, specifically wet ponds here and here. As detailed in the exhibit booklet, all surface runoff will be directed to this larger pond and ultimately discharged into the existing tax ditch system. The amenities also include proposed 5-foot sidewalks along one side of the internal streets, along with a proposed pool and pool house area. So with all this background in mind, I'll just address specifically the rezoning and conditional use requests. So with respect to the rezoning request, the applicant's proposal to rezone the property from AR1 to MR is appropriate for several reasons. First, the site is located near a property zoned MR, and adjacent to the site are properties in the town that have been developed with similar dwellings. This zoning change would therefore align with the existing land use patterns and the character of the surrounding area, and will result in a seamless transition between communities with less, similar, or increased density than what is proposed. For reasons explained, the proposed MR zoning is also consistent with the comprehensive plan and considered to be consistent, a consistent zoning district within the coastal area. Moreover, given that the site is within the coastal area, which is a designated growth area, and is recognized for its desirability for new housing, the rezoning is in line with the strategic goals of the county. As this council knows, the code provides that property owners in each zoning district can undertake certain uses of their property by right, while certain uses are prohibited outright, and others are permitted upon receipt of a conditional use approval. The code provides that the purpose of a conditional use is to provide for certain uses which cannot be well adjusted to their environment in particular locations, with full protection offered to surrounding properties by rigid application of the district regulations. These uses are generally of a public or semi-public character and are essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare. But because of the nature of the use, the importance of the relationship to the comprehensive plan, and possible impact not only on neighboring properties, but on a large section of the county, require the exercise of planning judgment on location and site plan. The proposal for a conditional use to allow for 46 single-family detached dwellings in a multifamily regime meets the purpose outlined in the code for conditional uses. Specifically, the proposed single-family detached dwellings are essential and desirable for general convenience and welfare of the community. Given the demonstrated demand for housing in the area, this proposal will provide a much-needed housing option that's compatible with existing developments nearby, such as Bishop's Landing. The development plan includes measures to address environmental concerns, such as the establishment of a resource buffer around the site, the site's wetlands, which will protect these sensitive areas while allowing for responsible development. By maintaining approximately 66% of the site as open space, the proposal not only enhances community enjoyment, but also contributes to the preservation of natural resources, aligning with the objectives of the comprehensive plan. The nature of the proposed use necessitates the exercise of planning judgment regarding the location and site plan. The proposed development is strategically located adjacent to growth areas and near existing infrastructure. This location supports the state, county, and town's vision for growth and development in a manner that respects both the needs of the community and the surrounding environment. Before concluding, I'd like to address just one other question that came up at the commission hearing, specifically by Commissioner Wingate, regarding a deed restriction outlined in Section 1 of Deed Book 1390, page 216, which is of public record. So this restriction states in part, quote, only single family detached dwellings shall be constructed upon the above premise, end quote. A resident from the area raised a question about whether the proposed product type adhered to this restriction, implying that it limited the future use to single family lots within a subdivision setting. We maintain that the proposed product type meets the criteria of a single-family detached residential dwelling, irrespective of whether it is placed on an individual lot or within a multifamily setting, and we've discussed the interpretation of this restriction with the commission's attorney, Mr. Robertson, and included Mr. Moore on that correspondence, a copy of which I'll submit into the record now. Ultimately, we consider this to be a non-issue, and we assert that the product type's in compliance with that deed restriction.
Kenzie, before you go too far, did I hear you right? Did you say 66% is reserved for open space?
Yes.
Really? I mean,
it's all that little space around the back, sort of a couple feet between that, and that's what it is. And
I mean, you're counting, I guess, everything except the outside the foundation of the home, right?
Yeah, it's a non-built space.
8.12 acres.
Non-built space.
Is the total, sorry, the total size is what, 8.12
acres.
Yeah, because if they're like 1,200 square foot homes or something. Yeah, I'm going to check.
And you said that it promotes the preservation of natural resources, but are you planning on eliminating that wetlands area? It looked like, when I was reading this, I thought it looked like you were going to replace that with a retention pond.
No. So the wetlands area remains undisturbed. The wetlands area is delineated here. Then we have the required resource buffer.
Okay, so you're not touching that.
Mm-mm. And then we have the stormwater ponds. And then we also have, which I think's a positive here, the additional width that's been proposed here, really because of the existence of the tax ditch. You've got your tax ditch width plus the buffer, as Mr. Sutton explained.
And to the tax ditch, your drawing here in the packet shows trees within the buffer, the tax ditch right away, which I don't think you're permitted trees in
they'll have zone. To be maintenance potentially performed, and that'll be
cut down and removed, which
right,
I'm sure the residents would be overjoyed about.
If I may answer that, our discussion with tax ditch when we actually set up that 25-foot right away is that when they come in to do maintenance, they may cut trees down, but until they do it, they'll remain. They want them down, but at the same time, the developer will be cleaning the entire tax ditch out as a part of this the project. So
right, but it's not going to be wooded.
Not within that 20-foot section.
Right, and I don't know if it is on the other side or not, but it seems almost like you're counting the neighbor's buffer as part of your open space the way it's being presented to us, which.
I wouldn't agree with that. We're making clear that there's the tax ditch right of way together with a buffer, and there is a separation that's greater than your typical separation. And this plan, the proposed buffer, complies with the code at the time the application and plan was submitted.
Just to be clear, not to what when you say 66% What do you count as open space?
Be under the prior definition of open space, which includes, Mr. Sutton stated, everything other than the rental unit itself is
so considered. Everything that's not built.
Yeah, everything except the foundation of the home.
Right, actually, okay.
That does check because it's like 42,000 square feet.
So that
acre.
Includes
so
stormwater
if I wanted
acres. So it includes the stormwater ponds and
ponds.
The
so anybody can walk between anybody's home, freely, and nobody could say anything because it's open space, right? They could go down and have a barbecue between the two houses, across the road, and nobody could say anything because it's open space, the way it's being presented.
Considered as open space.
From
a zoning perspective.
I can,
that's not to say, though, that the condominium documents that'll be, the documents would be prepared.
Judging that today.
Right.
So you can go down and play football between the two homes down the road. Sorry, it's open space.
Since the issue of the owl has been raised, where is the nest in this?
We do not know where the location of the nest is at this time. We saw that there was.
So let's pretend it's in the middle of where those houses are. It goes away then, right? There's no way to save it if it happens to be on a tree that's where one of these houses are.
That's correct. The nest could be removed. but the developer
But it can't have fledglings or eggs in it.
Correct. The developer would be following best management practices to not remove it if there were eggs or fledglings in the nest. Correct.
I have a question or two.
Okay.
School bus stop. I may have missed it. Did you talk about that? Was there consideration for that?
We have some space over near the clubhouse. We can add a school bus stop if we need to.
Oh, I think that.
Okay.
I think that needs to be.
You can add that to
a consideration.
Sure,
for sure.
What do you expect these units to sell for?
Whatever the market is at that time, we really can't answer.
There's no way to judge that.
It seems like it would tend to be more of an affordable housing type option, you know. So I would hope that we would be sensitive to that.
You are a mile and a half away from Bethany Beach.
Understood.
So.
Understood.
So it's not going to be affordable. I mean, you're making some kind of assumptions. Are you going to be building this, right? Come on, you're not willing to state them.
And I just have one more thing.
You're
talking about a culvert to get to the stormwater management pond. Can you point that out to me? I missed it.
There's a culvert we'll have to install under the new road section here. There'll be a new culvert that drains this pond into the tax ditch, and then this pond will also drain into the tax ditch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We tried to get everything to one pond. We just could not get it to work. So that's why we ended up losing 4 lots to reconfigure, add more stormwater, have the appropriate turnaround here per the code, and get everything to work.
Now, will there be some kind of an agreement to how often the tax ditch will be cleaned? Because I've seen them cleaned out, and then I've seen them grow where nothing flows through there.
Well, the agreement now is that we'll clean out that tax ditch during construction. So
I think the tax ditch committee would determine that.
It's typically 30 years before they come and do a tax ditch cleaning.
It just depends. Yeah. Just depends.
That doesn't work.
No.
Mr. McCarron, I'm sorry.
You said a few times this isn't the coastal zone.
Yes, sir.
And I saw a map. It appears to be in the state strategies level 2 area. So I think those are just certainly, there was a lot of concerns about buffers and the way this is built out. At the time of submission, this is built to the code that the county had.
Yes. Yeah.
Anybody else?
Okay. Did you have anything else, Ms.
Pete? I have nothing else to add.
Okay. Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone in favor of this application? Seeing none, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none. Operator, can you check to see if there's anyone listening remotely that would like to opine?
If there is anyone on the line who would like to speak in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. At this time, there are no pending comments.
Thank you, operator. Mr. President, this time we can close the public hearing on this matter. Council desires to close public record.
Okay, if it's okay with the council, we'll close the public hearing, close the public record. Okay. So this is in my district, but I cannot make a motion, correct, at this point?
But just hand over the gavel to Mr. Riley. But typically, I would read the short title at this point, and then
that was a question I had.
Any motion that you would have could be made then.
Okay.
First is for the change of zone and ordinance amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to an MR medium density residential district for certain parcels of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 12.32 acres more or less for the reasons given by planning and zoning numbered 1 through 6.
Okay.
Pleasure, Council.
Mr. Vice President, at this point in time, I would make a motion to defer for further consideration.
To defer. Second.
Second, Mr. Lloyd.
Mr. Lloyd. Mr. Hudson, how do you vote?
I vote yes to defer.
McCarron?
Yes.
Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Grunbaum?
Yes.
And I vote yes. Motion to defer approved.
And the next matter is conditional use number 2462, an ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for multifamily dwellings, 50 units, to be located on certain parcels of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 12.32 acres more or less for reasons given by planning and zoning numbered 1 through 9 with conditions 10A through Q.
Pleasure, Council. There you go.
Mr. Vice President, I would move to defer this as well.
Motion to defer. Do we have a second?
Second.
Mr. Lloyd, second. Mr. Hudson, how do you vote?
I vote yes to defer.
Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Grunbaum?
Yes.
And I vote yes. Motion to defer. Defer is approved.
Okay.
There you go. You're in charge now.
And that's it for the public hearings. Okay, anybody have anything to add? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Motion, Mr. McCarron. Second, Mr. Riley. Question on the motion? Hearing none. Take the vote. Mr. McCarron?
Yes.
Mr. Lloyd?
Yes.
Ms. Grunbaum?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
I vote yes. We are now adjourned. Thank you, everyone.